Hello, everyone, and welcome to this Tom Talk on mixed-use properties coming to you from our Coast Real Estate offices. My name is Tom Hoban. I'm the CEO of the Coast Group of Companies. We're a sizable property management firm based in the Pacific Northwest, managing apartment product, commercial buildings, self-storage, and mixed-use properties for now 26 years. I'm really excited about these Tom Talks. We've been getting quite a few listens on them. I'm doing them at the request of our new rock star vice president of marketing, Kate Hart. So thank you, Kate, for having the vision to see that these might have some use. We do them to serve the community, to serve the market, to develop business, and just to keep connected to all of you. The people that wanted to hear this mixed-use talk today are clients of ours, some of my colleagues in other markets, quite a few brokers who do a lot of retail leasing and wanted to know a little more about the kind of work we do in this space and the uniqueness of managing mixed-use properties. So these Tom Talks last about 5 minutes. If you'd like to do a deeper dive on any of these subjects, you can click through to whatever portal Kate delivered this to you on, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, our website, or just a direct email, or certainly could call us at 425-339-3638. So advertising out of the way. Again, I'm Tom Hoban, CEO of the Coast Group of Companies, and we'll dive now into mixed-use properties and their uniqueness. So we sort of got lucky in mixed-use properties. Our company started managing both commercial and multifamily properties from the get-go, where many of our competitors still today specialize in one or the other, and there are certainly lots of really good reasons to specialize. We fashioned ourselves as specialists in both. If you have a robust reporting and data-driven, technology-driven backbone that can handle the HR and the financial reporting and all that end of the business, then you can hire experts or develop expertise through your portfolio managers in the direct management of different product types. They can feed off that same back office. You can scale. Well, of course, what happened is urban designers and just growth and expansion of some of the urban markets in the Pacific Northwest and elsewhere that we serve started to design buildings that had first floor retail, maybe some stacked parking, maybe even a layer of office, and then multifamily above that. So 70-80% of the revenue stream and the physical product was all about the multifamily, and very often we'd be competing for that work against other multifamily firms. We would often win it, though, because we had equal or stronger, we thought, skill sets in the multifamily, but we had deep abilities in commercial and retail as well. So that's kind of our background, how I qualify myself as a bit of an expert in mixed-use properties. So here are a couple of key tips just to share with you if you're involved in mixed-use properties. And I'd give them to you sort of in three bullets, and then I'll dive in a bit deeper. Parking is number one. Second would be tenant mix and adjacencies, some unique things to think about there. And the third would just be physical issues with building a mixed-use property, all of which architects and designers and people do their very, very best to plan ahead of time, but I don't think there's a single mixed-use property we're managing anywhere where 3-4 years down the road you wouldn't have done something different at the front end based on what's happened from the practical experience we have as property managers of those assets. So with parking, let's do that first. You know, I think the best models for how to manage parking come from the urban mall sets. If you're in the Seattle market, everybody knows University Village. There's an urban mall setting with a lot of outdoor components to it, but it's blending a grocery, all kinds of shopping and restaurants, and then lots of adjacent housing and residential life. Another good example for you West Coasties might be in San Jose, Santana Row, kind of a University Village shopping experience, very high-end, very tourist-driven, but a lot more hotel and multifamily condo and rental units in there. And so when we look at what is happening there around parking, we have to really over-engineer and over-plan a bit to try to anticipate down to the half hour what our traffic flow patterns are going to be. And very often, until we know who our anchor tenants are going to be in the retail end and what their traffic patterns are going to be, we really can't get into the granular level. So there's sort of a give and take that happens as we're doing our lease up, where we program in what we anticipate, but we prepare and we adjust a little bit on the fly. So for example, I have a complex that has a veterinary clinic that we leased into a space on the first floor. And there was just sort of a unique choke point that we created of parking where people bring their pets sort of after work or in the evenings at the same time we were bringing in all of our residential tenants to fill the parking that lots of the office folks vacated after they went home during the day. It was next to a medical clinic that seemed to sort of fit. You know, we have sort of a veterinarian and medicine kind of group together in our mind's eye, probably because of the way those folks follow an education pattern. But nothing could be more different than those two in terms of their traffic patterns and impact on parking. So we usually know what our parking flow is. It peaks in the evenings and then it dumps back out in the morning on our residential. It's the nuancing of the tenant mix and looking at choke points for both entry and exit into our buildings, but also where the parking wants to sort of clump together, that becomes key. So wayfinding, critically important. I like a lot of electronic systems that are now on the market today to notify people where there's parking if it's hard to find, where they can go directly so we don't have to see people looping through parking lots and clogging things up as they sit and wait for a stall to open. Nowadays, if you go into these mixed-use properties, you very often can find lighting systems with little LED lights over the top and then a notification of which stalls are open, and that will help guide you. And I think every mixed-use project, even if it's garden style to some degree with surface area parking, needs to find ways to do that. I think let's go into tenant mix and adjacencies because they sort of play off each other a little bit. With tenant mix and adjacencies, you know, we're always looking in the retail end of who should be next to whom and is there a compatibility there or is there a conflict? So let me go back to my medical clinic next to my veterinary clinic and the kind of the choke point problem that fell upon us there. Actually, we inherited management of the project and that was already there. We were able to manage our way through it. Tenant mix and adjacencies has a lot to do with parking and those sorts of issues, but it has a lot to do with other little things that are very subtle that you might not notice until you're actually managing the property yourself. So for example, a veterinary clinic, very few people know, has to euthanize and then incinerate animals from time to time. And if residential tenants up above that activity are aware of it, then every time they think they smell something unusual, even if it's just the natural decay of the leaves in the fall or something from the little creek a couple blocks away, they'll blame it on the vet clinic and they'll kind of get the EBGBs over whether that's Fido that met his demise. So we have to be very thoughtful about smells and the physical activity that occur in these buildings so that as tenants in both start to settle in, they can have an appreciation for what happens in both and we can see those compatibilities. And the trick in property management, of course, is to get to know that retail tenant and their business processes very, very well. A little extra time spent up front there will help you identify whether we should set this one over in the corner, put this one in the infill here, who they should be next to, who they should not. And I think very often people that manage mixed-use properties have such an emphasis on the bulk of the activity, which is going to be the residential, that they tend to forget those little nuances in the retail. And so last would be physical. There are several others I'll mention at the end that we can talk about on another Tom Talk, or if you want to reach out to me, I can dive in a bit deeper. But the last one would be physical. And here, we're dealing with things like hood vents for restaurants and what where those vent out. We're dealing with all kinds of other sort of impacts from the business they have beyond parking. You know, when we're designing the building, we have an idea where we want the flue and we want the piping and we want, you know, these sorts of things to go with the retail, and we've sort of designated spots, but the market may speak otherwise and change that plan. And so we've got to be able to adjust on the fly. And so we're retrofitting buildings and getting into the open drop ceilings and trying to, you know, punch in these things. And today there are so many wonderful mechanical solutions to problems with air handling and that kind of thing that they can be done. The one that's the most difficult, because it's already baked into the physical construction of the property, is noise. And, you know, if you put a restaurant down on the first floor and they decide 2 years into the business that they're going to have a wine club event and it's going to be driven by acoustic guitar and a light drum, and it's going to go till 11 o'clock at night on Thursdays and Fridays, you can bet that your residential tenants a couple floors up are not going to like the beat of that bass drum or the sound of the DJ's music in the background. Even for what seems like sort of a fairly innocuous activity like a wine club event, and even those can create conflicts. So it's that kind of magic 9, 10 o'clock quiet time for residential tenants that needs to be appreciated when we're putting a business in and we're writing the details of the lease about hours of operation and whatnot. And we have to be careful in that when we design them physically for these functions and can take care and concern for noise issues, that we don't also hamstring the retail tenant from and the restaurant from being able to actually have some flexibility during their lease term to change course and react to the market themselves. So something to think about. I'm running out of time, but I do want to tell this little funny story. I had a medical dental building where this snuck up on me, and in just to illustrate how you really have to know your residential tenants, and you have to really know your retail and your office users well. So I had a family psychologist operation and had leased out next door a family practice. So if you think about it, those are two medical uses. There are families involved, a lot of very compatible uses. They were medical in nature. But what happened, just by the way the tenants designed their interior spaces, is that the most intimate, difficult psychology interviews were happening in the suite, the room in the suite, right adjacent to the room where babies in the family practice were getting shots in their fannies. And I laugh a bit because any of us who've had children have been through this and just know how difficult that can be. But when the needle comes out and the baby has to expose its little tender bottom and the needle hits the fanny, they don't often have a lot of history knowing how to handle that. And so there's a lot of noise that can go with it, both from the parents and from the patient. And those two simply weren't compatible. You can imagine being in the psychologist's office trying to draw out some difficult subject from your client, and right at the moment they're about to reveal what could be the breakthrough in your work for them, you hear a baby scream at the top of their lungs next door. So these sorts of things happen. They can't always be predicted and avoided, but the more we do at the front end of really paying attention to those three key areas, parking, tenant mix and adjacencies, and physical layout, the more likely we are to avoid problems down the road when folks like us are managing them. So if there's interest in more, I have some discussion around exclusivities and product types for our retail tenants, how to manage that a bit. What do you do with live work? What do you do with people that show up and they're in their residential unit, but they want to open an art studio or build a little home business there? And how do we make that work? And there's some others, too, around cost allocation and how we spread out our common area costs into these different user communities in ways that everybody thinks is fair. And then how, ever important, but how do you work in a compatible way with the leasing team on the retail space so that they get a rapid and effective lease up of the space at the same time that the leasing people in the residential community are trying to do the same. And during that critical absorption period, how do we do that without having people trip over each other? It's a broader subject than we had time for. I hope I didn't go over my time limit. I hope this was useful to you. Thank you for joining us for this Tom Talk, and look forward to doing more.